This is Fred Wilgenberg. During the last few years, as part of my life journey of being redeemed and refined by God, I have been studying toward my Doctor of Ministry, or what I call my D-Min degree. My focus has been learning about the motivating factors for people to dialogue at a spiritual level, including about the gospel. This is one of 5 short talks to share what I have learned. I pray that it is inspirational and insightful for you. I warmly welcome your questions or comments to be emailed to sfnewroots@gmail.com. That's sfnewroots@gmail.com, which is also on the website I mention in the podcast. I will reply as promptly and thoughtfully as possible.
From staleness to vibrancy, we can all use some motivation. Many of us would claim that the gospel, the good news of God's salvation of us from the grip of sin and its effects, is our main life blood. If the gospel could be taken away from us so there is no more assurance of salvation, no more meaningful purpose based on our faith, no more communication with God, no more anticipation of heaven, and no more church family, our level of despair would be greater than if anything else could be taken from us. God's gospel is our life blood. Yet, a staleness in our faith can still set in sometimes. It is one of the biggest thieves of motivation to communicate the gospel with those who don't have it. Here are a few things that help me when my faith could use some freshening. Mix things up in the way of your spiritual practices, perhaps by going to worship services with different styles at times, or with different Jesus followers than your norm, or to different kinds of spiritual retreats or seminars. Step out of spiritual comfort zones based on Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians 12 verses 9 and 10 and feel invigorated. Do regular devotions, including Bible reading, and pray often, not only talking to God, but also then truly seeking to listen to His will. Realize that your spiritual health will be affected by your physical and mental and emotional health, and vice versa. So let's seek to be healthy. I hope that's helpful, though what works for me is probably different from what works for you. More specific ideas for freshening up faith are at peacewithinreach.com/DMIN. That's D-M-I-N. It's good to come out of a dry period to feel close to God again, to sense gratitude to Him, and what we would hope would be a responsive motivation to be an ambassador of Jesus through whom God can make His appeal of love to those who don't know Him. But in spite of having vibrant faith, many of us share our faith mostly, if not exclusively, with just our fellow believers. For this reason, motivators that cause more intentionality are needed, and they vary a lot for different people.
Let's take a look at other results of the surveys I have done. So this first screen has motivating factors for communicating about the gospel with non-believers. And these surveys were done by 102 longtime believers and 101 newer believers. The highest motivating factor for communicating about the gospel with non-believers was they want to see positive, present, and eternal life impact for others. The next highest was they want their personal relationship with God blesses them, so they want the same for others. A relatively low factor that motivates believers to share with non-believers the gospel is they want to invite others to my church. That was actually quite a low factor. And pastors and church leaders, that's a concern to be aware of. Really a low factor. Christian leaders teach this should be done. Well, it is correct that all believers should be sharing their faith with those who don't know God. We are commissioned and expected by Jesus to share our faith. However, being preached at that we should share our faith is not motivating. So the next survey was really learning the methods, tools, and practices to help believers communicate the gospel more with non-believers. Here's some points. The highest one, opportunities are available for visiting with those seeking or wondering or struggling. Next highest factor, networking with believers who practice evangelism would be a helpful thing for them to communicate more. quite a low factor, 8th out of 10. Gospel tracts or other helpful printed materials are available. Well, that's disappointing for me, as I like giving out a good tract sometimes. Good tracts can still be useful, but probably more as follow-up. A favorite of mine would be Steps to Peace with God by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It has great pictures and verses that go with it, and also a prayer. Another quite low factor, social media and websites available to visit with those seeking, wondering, and struggling is really what believers said was something that would not be that helpful to them, interestingly. And a low factor, another low factor, they attend a seeker-sensitive church to which to invite people. So these are methods and tools, it's important that our churches are seeker-sensitive, where guests and newcomers feel welcomed and inspired. However, many Jesus followers are not seeing their churches that way. Let's help our people to want to invite others. This third slide was done just by the 101 newer believers, and these were factors that motivated people, factors that motivated them to initially receive God and Jesus into their life. The highest factor was someone prayed for them. The next highest, a believer was kind to them. And the next highest, a believer was interested in their culture and in their understanding. Let's do these things. They work. If you want your church to function ever more effectively in gospel outreach, I encourage you to take a few minutes at peacewithinreach.com/dmin to see the full list of factors believers ranked according to their level of motivation. peacewithinreach.com/dmin or DMIN. So these next screens are actually those without a faith. And this first screen is the factors that prevents those without a faith from having a relationship with God or a Jesus. And I had 47 respondents to this survey. The highest factor preventing them from having faith in God is they disagree with understandings that they believe Christians have about science and life and the beginning of the world. Another high factor holding them back really is that they disagree with positions taken by many Christians on social and political issues. Another high factor is they think Christians' faith has little impact on their morality. Let's be aware of these three important points made by those without a faith. So this next slide is factors that prevent those of other religions from having a relationship with God and with Jesus. And like those without a faith, I had 47 respondents of those of other religions to this survey. So the highest factors for them was that they think the faith of Christians has little impact on their level of morality. Number two, they don't know much about God or Jesus and about the Bible. In fact, many people of other religions are ignorant of the Bible and about God and Jesus. For some, you may be the first Christian they have talked with about faith. I find that they are often open, even interested in learning more. Quite a low factor, in fact, the lowest, is being of another religion, you don't think you can be in a relationship with Jesus. So they would say that's a low factor. Not many people of other religions have the feeling that they cannot be in a relationship with Jesus. That's encouraging, isn't it? My final slide here, these would be factors which may motivate those without a faith and those of other religions to communicate about the gospel. So the highest for both is Christians you know are kind and caring and respectful. Another high factor, Christians know important teachings on life and eternity, and they respectfully talk about it. Another high factor that might motivate those without a faith and those of other religions to communicate about the gospel. Another high factor is Christians have similar values and understandings of science and life and beginning of the world. A lowest factor for those without a faith is receiving a gospel tract or printed material explaining faith in God. That would not be very helpful to them. And the lowest factor motivating those of other religions to communicate more about the gospel, the lowest one for them is that they see Jesus or God in a dream or vision. Dreams, in fact, are profound and impactful, especially for Muslims. However, it was ranked low because it does not seem to be a common occurrence.
I need to highlight a couple of points here. Number one, surveys with less than 100 respondents may lower accuracy. After much effort, I was only able to get about 47 respondents to each of these surveys. That is, those without a faith and those who are of other religions. And a second important point, survey results with strongly low factor numbers, which may be due to some respondents' strong bias against the Christian faith, can lower accuracy. Some of the responses in the surveys done by those who do not identify with the faith and those of other religions were like that. Due to these issues causing questionable accuracy, I have included many comments written by those who do not identify with the faith and those of other religions, and here are a few. I'm Hindu, and all my family members are Hindu. That's our religion, but I went to church many times, and I truly believe in Jesus. It's just because I am Muslim, and I don't believe what Christians do. I do believe in Jesus and love him, but in another way that is different from that way that Christians have. Well, I don't agree with how my grandmother was treated in the 40s when she attended boarding school, so I guess a lot of her experiences and stories she told us as kids caused us to believe in something other than God or Jesus. Family and friends would treat me differently, and I'm not sure I'm ready for endless arguments. I was bullied by people considered to be Christians, and when I tried to speak up, their wonderful faith is what made others not believe me and let the behavior continue. To me, scientific is more persuasive than the spiritual realm. The majority of responses were like those, offering some openness and some room for believers to have good discussion. Only a few were truly anti-faith and anti-God. I encourage you to go to peacewithinreach.com/dmin, that's D-M-I-N, and read all of the numerous comments written. They are categorized to help give you good insight on the perspectives of a variety of non-believers. Ah, the gospel is the main lifeblood for many of us, without which we cannot live. If that includes you, the Father wants you to share that vital lifeblood that you have with others who desperately need it too. Let's learn what works for us and what works for others to feel motivated and empowered to give that lifeblood donation. Let's also get to know those who don't yet believe, but who, like us, are made in God's image and therefore have the capacity to be in a personal relationship with Him. My next talk, available at peacewithinreach.com/dmin, highlights big challenges faced by our beloved church. But as we engage and face those challenges, we can again grow, retaking that position of positive influence. In closing, if you are a Jesus follower, what would be the two most motivating factors for you to share about your faith with someone whom you think doesn't believe in God?